Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Cody Decker.
He describes himself on Twitter as an anti-hero baseball player for the Royals organization. Sometimes an actor, rarely wrong, often a jerk, always adorable.
Host of Odyssey Sports Big Time Baseball Podcast.
The jawline, can't really beat it. I mean, from here up, not really good. You know, kind of like a soft four. From but here down, hard eight. So six.
Cody Decker on 670 The Score.
Let's talk some baseball with Cody Decker. I've been looking forward to this for like 18 hours. He's on Twitter at Decker6, host of Down the Line with Cody Decker, which will next air here Sunday at noon. Also, Bet for the Cycle, Bet MGM MLB podcast, Big Time Baseball. He's with us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook. And he is, as always, on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Well, Cody, I mean, I know what we're going to be talking about. So let's bring it back to your reactions in real time as this is going on, because we're all interconnected. We're all, you know, we can be listening to multiple broadcasts. We can be watching on our phones to see what's happening on Twitter. What was your experience of this fifth inning yesterday?
Exceedingly unique, because I was at a restaurant with my mom eating lunch and the game was on all the TVs because I was in Los Angeles. And watching this game, I was perplexed, wondering what just happened. Was there a catcher's interference or something? Why is Trey Turner going to first base? I didn't see anything on that wild pitch that would lead to this possibility. Then I look online and see that he intentionally walked him with a 1-2 count, and I literally laughed out loud, saying, "Well, this is going to be bad." And it was.
And what'd your mom say? Say, "Hey, you know, you're coming out. How often do you get to eat lunch with your mother? You pay attention. We have a conversation. And you're busy working. Come on."
You kidding me? Terry looked at me and said, "Oh my God, Tony La Russa is stupid."
That seems to be the
Terry knows the game. She's been around this game quite a while, and everybody knows you do not walk somebody with a 1-2. What the hell could you possibly be thinking? And forget the fact that he did it. Let's just bring up the post-game interview where he blamed us all for not agreeing with him. Yep. Who agrees with this?
It isn't just that. We just played the post-game in its entirety. Juxtaposed with the rationale for leaving Dylan Cease in, not having anyone up in the bullpen, even after a pitching coach mound visit, a catcher mound visit, still nobody warming up, and to say it's his inning, he just struck out Mookie Betts. Let me get the quote here. There's nobody in the bullpen you want to use in the fifth inning. What?
There isn't?
You have your whole bullpen. Hey, there's nobody in the bullpen you want to use in the fifth inning. He's pitching.
Then you need a new bullpen entirely, if that's the case. That's a terrible. Your bullpen should be pissed off at you today, Tony La Russa, for you saying that, because this bullpen's quite good. It didn't look like it yesterday, but hell, Dylan Cease gave up quite a bit of runs because you left him out over 100 pitches. He broke Eric Karros. You can't break Eric Karros. Yeah. Eric Karros was announcing the game. He sounded like he was malfunctioning.
Well, because nobody can process this. No, and even after the fact, the number of people who don't understand it's not outcome based. That's the other thing. If he didn't hit that 3-run home run, no, it was before the fact. Everybody did it before the 3-run homer. Everyone. And it was, and what La Russa fails to understand is that it's about the process and the reasoning that was non-existent. But from you, I want a player's perspective, though. I really want to know, first of all, when we see Freddie Freeman and Danny Mendick talking out there at second base, about that kind of conversation between competitors trying to figure out what's going on. What's that like?
So for instance, I'll give you an example, and I've had this exact same thing, not the exact same thing. I've never had somebody get intentionally walked on a 1-2 count before, but I've seen plays that are called where you see the second base and your shortstop will lean in and is like, yeah, I don't know what we're doing here. That's our third pick off the second base in a row. We have no numbers on you that say you're going to be stealing third. No idea what we're doing. It happens all the time, but watching Freddie Freeman do it. Hey, listen, Tony La Russa, after that great press conference, basically not allowing himself to be question. I think Freddie Freeman's going to be a Hall of Fame baseball person as well, and I do believe he won't say it on a dash cam. But if a Hall of Fame baseball person in Freddie Freeman saying, I have never seen that before, and he's looking perplexed, something's wrong.
And then all of the White Sox have to figure out who he's blaming and why he's blaming. Because when you say it's Dylan Cease's inning, it's his inning, are you blaming him for the loss then? And at least Jake Berger had some sense of accountability. Jake Berger at least was a grown-up and had the wherewithal to describe how he felt for doing something wrong. I mean, like you say, how does the bullpen feel when he's like, I got nobody I want to go to at that point? Well, yeah, you do. You've got stars in there. You got Kendall Graveman. You got Liam Ender. You got anybody in the world you can go to right there, because that's what dictates it. I wonder amongst themselves in some of these player group chats today, the overall effect of thinking that your manager doesn't know what he's doing has to make coming to work a little different.
If it happened once, fine. Twice, fine. Listen, mistakes happen. Sometimes managerial mistakes will take place. Bullpen mistakes will take place. It happens. And quite frankly, managers are human. And as much as we want to sit here and pretend that there is a perfect way to manage a game, there isn't. But when it's mistake after mistake after mistake, and when it's simple mistakes, mistakes that involve simple rule changes that have taken place in the past 20 years, or something as simple as, hey, maybe not leaving your pitcher in over 100 pitches when he's thrown 40 pitches in that inning, maybe get somebody up in the bullpen. That's not a ridiculous thing. I don't understand what he could possibly be watching out there to make any of these decisions.
And I don't understand why a properly functioning bench can't manifest more decisions that make sense, even if it's not Tony himself. Look, you were not exactly known as a quiet bench presence.
No.
There are, whether it's players or coaches, so what's the protocol? Would you stand at the top step and say, what the hell are we doing out there? Or would you go to a coach with whom you're friendly and say, hey, well, Tell Skip to maybe get somebody warm. Like, the players with smarts, players who we talk about as future managers or coaches or who work at any level, I know that there are people saying things on that bench. What prevents better decisions from getting made from like a benevolent hive mind, if you will?
It just depends on the team. It depends on who's at the helm. It depends how the dynamic of the whole functionality is. I remember I played on a team where I legitimately yelled at my manager for making a bad call, and it was that he didn't put a guy on, and it was a terrible decision. He brought in this lefty to face their power hitting righty with a runner, with two runners on second and third with an open base at first. That was an obvious time to intentionally walk someone. I'm yelling at him to do it, and he wouldn't do it, and the guy hits a double, and I think I broke a glass in the corner yelling at my manager in fury. And in other things, it's just been the exact opposite, where you kind of lean in and it's like, hey man, that's got to be handled a different way, to a different coach that will then say that to the manager. But it just depends on clubhouse dynamics. And listen, Tony La Russa is clearly not someone who likes to be questioned by just about anyone that he doesn't seem to be on his level. I don't know what his level is, because his level is making the dumbest mistakes in baseball for the past two seasons, and he's taken the most exciting team in Major League Baseball and made them the most boring team in baseball, and this team just can't get out of its own way. Quite frankly, the Phillies have been beating up on everybody lately, and I know the Angels just lost 14 in a row, but they've actually shown signs of life these last couple of nights. I don't know. Something needs to change on the South Side, and at this point, I don't even care what it is.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to be the manager.
He's not going anywhere.
Exactly. I'm told exactly the same. That is a non-starter, not happening. And it's this sense of fatalism that just sort of sets in internally and externally. When it's one thing for me to know it as a fan or as an observer, it's another thing for players to just have that weighing on them to whenever the lineup is posted or whenever a decision is made. Is there an emotional erosion that takes place? How does a lack of trust in a manager actually affect a team, if at all?
It depends on the team. Again, it's case by case. I played on teams that, again, have had horrible managers, and we played amazing despite it, almost like we banded together against him rather than against the teams. And I've seen other managers, their own personalities, their own insecurities leak into the team, and the team became a miserable experience. But that's where you get certain clubhouse guys to come together, where they are kind of the glue that keeps it all together, basically an extension of the coaching staff. You know, you see that with a lot of teams. Hell, you've been seeing it on the North side with Contreras behind the plate, how he's been affecting his players on the field. It's a fascinating dynamic in a clubhouse. It just depends on the personalities, the talent on the field. There's so much that comes into play in this that we can't quantify. That's why hiring managers is so borderline impossible. There is no real template on hiring a manager.
And I guess I get back to his defiance as so galling, especially in today's climate, Cody, when the relationship with players, the just human relationship with players, and the understanding that you... managers make mistakes. And here's the thing. It's okay for a manager to make a mistake. Sometimes you go against things and you go with your gut and you're wrong. And we can say a manager who isn't on the percentages all the time and everything exactly by the last decimal point of every advantage by the book, then maybe there are times where you think you know something other people don't, or you smell something in the air, or you look at the way the sun is hitting a certain part of the park and it reminds you of something, and it comes through for you. But the lack of accountability in a relationship with your team, NFL coaches almost as a perfunctory statement after a loss. Starts with coaching, starts with me. And they'll always be a thumb guy, not a finger guy. And coaches talk about accountability, and they talk about that. And that is even in basketball. It starts with coaching, it starts with me. I could have done better. I know I need to do better. And coaches say that because they know it's got to be said, and it has to be heard internally. It's got to be heard externally. The fact that he refuses to believe that one of the worst decisions in the history of managing could possibly be wrong is I can't get past that, and I can't get past that, how that has to affect relationships.
It drives me nuts. If there's one thing I loved about managers that I played for that I truly respected, no matter what, even if they are lying, they had the team's back in front of everybody. No matter what, they went out there and they fell on the sword because, unfortunately, whether you like it or not, that's the job. Your job is to be the one that takes the blame. You're the one that has to face the press crew. You have to make the excuses, and quite frankly, you have to shoulder the blame. There's a reason why managers are the first one fired every single time. It's not necessarily that they're the cure-all or the problem, but someone has to go, and that's the job of the manager.
If he were a character that was brought up in a writer's meeting at Ted Lasso, it would never make it to air. Like the whole idea, like the whole sort of ethos of that show about humanity and accountability and fallibility and strength through fallibility of being bigger and stronger and how the relationships can grow stronger when you admit what you are not and admit mistakes and the trust that's built from that, to have somebody who is so completely antithetical to that is, in its own way, I can only describe it as cartoonish. Like a writer would be like, yeah, nobody would ever act that way. We can't possibly do something like that because it's too outside the bounds.
It's pretty impressive that he simply, and it's not even the fact that he defended him. I have no problem with him defending himself, but he wasn't defending himself. He was attacking the question.
Yes.
As if the question was stupid and the person who asked it was stupid, when the only thing that was stupid was his actions. That's the only thing that was stupid that took place. Just answer the question and admit that, hey, this was probably a bad decision. And it was. And that's all it takes. And for whatever reason, we're going backwards on the South side. I don't know why we're going backwards with this team. This is a team that should win the World Series. I don't know if this team's making the playoffs.
I still think they're going to make the playoffs.
So do I, but man, I am running out of faith. I am legitimately am. I've defended this team nonstop, and I will continue to defend this team because on the field, this team's it's an all-star team. It just is an all-star team. In the bullpen, the starting staff, on-field personnel, the coaching staff is through the roof. But for whatever reason, this team seems to not be able to get out of its own way, and something has to change. I don't know what it is. I thought something was going to change a few weeks ago after the whole thing in the Bronx with Tim Anderson and Josh Donaldson. That didn't seem to get the team going, unfortunately. And everything after that has just been nothing but hurdle after hurdle. And now this scenario, I hate how much we have to talk about Tony La Russa.
Agreed. I know you'll have other subjects when we next hear you on Down the Line with Cody Decker that is going to be Sunday at noon. This is really good today, Cody. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, I'll also be hosting Hit and Run on Sunday, so join me for a long time this Sunday.
Wow. Lots of Cody Decker on the Score airwaves. Thank you, sir.
No, thank you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.